a starry crown. Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? The Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
This is a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written. In order to understand this book, you need to be born again in the newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If this has never happened to you, and you need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. He was then seen by over 500 people. On behalf of our sponsor, who is the creator of the universe, we welcome you and thank you for coming. Welcome to the Book of Heaven.
Well, hello everyone. How are we doing tonight? Jim?
I'm doing good, but that's because I've been blessed right out of my sock.
Whoa, hallelujah. And Miss Kitty, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing wonderful here. I actually have Mr. Kitty here with me, Larry.
Mr. Kitty.
No.
But just call him Tom.
I was going to say, I doubt Larry approves of Mr. Kitty.
No. I'll go with Happy.
There we go.
Hey, we can call you Gorilla, Groundhog, or Narwhal.
Gorilla, then. All right. You're the narwhal.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, I struggled with that one.
What's your name tonight, Matt? Matthias?
Matthias, yep.
Okay, good. And hey, Miss DJ. How are you
doing? Hello. Good.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
And hey, everybody in chat, it's great to see you all here tonight. Should we just get into a prayer?
Well, that's the first thing to do.
Yes, and before we get sidetracked, it's also one of the most important things to do. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've brought to us today and all the just the wonders and gifts and many blessings. And I just thank you for each and every one. And I thank you for this family. And I thank you for your word, which we are about to get into. And one of our favorite bits, the armor of God. And as we listen and learn, Lord, just let us strap on that armor. Let it be clean and blemish free, that we may fight a good fight for you and to honor you and to praise your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I almost forgot the host with the most.
Yeah.
Getting our dunk on. Duncan.
I'm cropping everything as we speak. Oh, great to see you all.
He's doing all the hard work.
Hey, I got everything cropped and ready to go. Got all the scriptures set up. I'm excited for tonight's conversation. You sent me earlier, it was like, hey, we're going to be getting a little armor of God possibly this evening. And I was like, I don't think it can be more well-timed.
True that.
We always need that.
Yes.
Yes.
You can't have enough armor, especially in these times, especially of God. So.
Well, I have something to talk to you about. Picked this up on the radio the other day, and I'm sorry I don't remember the guy's name, because I'd like to give him credit. But the first question is, tell me again what the gospel is.
The gospel?
Yes.
Well, that is all about Christ.
Tell me the gospel.
The gospel, Jim, do you believe that Christ was crucified?
What happened before that? He died for my sin.
Well, he was crucified, and then he died. For your sins.
Okay, I believe that.
And then they buried him.
I believe that.
And then he arose on the third day.
That sounds like some pretty good news.
Right? And after that, he was seen by over 500 people.
Now you're on the ball. Now listen. You guys ever heard of Vince Lombardi?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great football coach.
One of the best. Absolutely.
Well, this story, they say, when he took the first day that he took over the Green Bay Packers, and all these football players sitting around. And he reached down, he picked up a football. And he said to them, this is a football. And you would have been better off if you'd never been born than you were to drop this ball. He says, without this ball, we're not even playing football. Without this ball, you can go across the goal line 100 times and they won't give you 1 point. He said, don't drop this ball. Now, here's the message for you. The gospel is our ball. Mm. Don't drop this ball, gentlemen. Hang on to that gospel, how Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to scriptures, was dead, buried, and raised again on the third day, according to scriptures, was seen by over 500 people. That is your ball.
Amen.
Don't drop it.
You know, I did a video a while back, and you have to let Jim see this when you get a chance, but it was called In the Right Hands. And it's just going through the difference between putting something in someone's hands and yours and the accomplishments that can be created if it's in the right hands. And the final thing was, what can you create if you were to have spikes in your hands or handed spikes into your hands? And then ask Jesus the same question and what he accomplished when the spikes were in his hands.
Hey, that's a great thought. That's a great thought. Mm-hmm. We need to be edified that way time to time. Anyhow, from time to time, I'm going to remind you guys, don't drop that ball. Amen. It would be better that you hadn't been born.
Yeah, amen.
Like the millstone around the neck.
Yeah, exactly.
And just real quick, before we jump into anything else, we had some great news today, and that is our brother Steve Kusick is home.
Yeah. Oh, that is amazing.
I don't see him in chat, but I expect our greeter will be back soon.
Yeah, I saw a voicemail pop up right before we got to the show, so I haven't had a chance to listen to it, so I'd imagine it's that wonderful news. That is great.
I'm looking forward to hearing Steve's laugh.
I am too.
I miss that brother.
I know they're saying hello to everyone that walks into the chats. Love it.
Steve, welcome home, brother. We love you.
Very much.
So are we ready to get into some scripture?
Sure, what? We're ready. We're going to take on the whole armor of God. We're going to actually start in verse 11 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And by the way, if we finish Ephesians today, before the time is up, we're just going to have some fun playing around with, but because we're not going to start the new book on the back end of a program. And the new book will be Philippians. Our next, you guys, the questions for Philippians will be going up very shortly. And because I called Debbie, she wasn't home. She puts them up for me. And so I think we'll finish Ephesians today, and we'll be starting Philippians next week. That's the plan. When we finish Philippians, we will do Colossians. And those are the highlight books of all the Bible. Those are the three highlight books.
But first we'll be flipping through Philippians.
We're going to flip through Philippians. We're not going to flip through Philippians. We're going slow.
That it doesn't roll off the tongue like flipping does.
So flipping Philippians.
Those flipping Philippians.
I like it. Anyhow, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's the plan.
We're going to verse 11 to start with today.
Yes. Now, when we finish Colossians, we're going to go back and do the book of Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to lay a foundation for some other work.
All right. Well, I trust you, Jim.
I tell you, it'll only take in about a year. We'll probably be done with most of the New Testament.
Wow.
And we want to throw a book or two out of the Old Testament.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it may take us more than a year. You know me. I just go till the clock runs out.
Right. Well, and you know us. Yeah. Full of questions and sure. Rabbit trails.
And we just put down a mark, and then we just pick up where we left off.
Right.
Starting with verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. This is review, by the way. We had these last time. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in a moment, he'll describe your armored suit, but here he is telling you that you need it. In other words, if you're going to stand in the battle and not become a casualty, you need the whole armor and not just a piece of it. Although we study the armor of God a piece at a time, you're commanded to put on the whole armor. You don't just play with half of it. Because, you know, when you only have half your armor on, you may have the wrong half.
Mm.
Now, you don't want to be a soldier with a helmet that's not put on your pants. That's why the Bible says. Now, he says then, and now he starts to give you the reason. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now you notice this is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle, and it takes place in your mind. And that's why we teach you to do your mess up, fess ups. When you have a bad thought, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, that's wrong. And then you thank him for forgiving. And then you move on. And it may come back to you. I've done them at the rate, I think, of 10 a second. I don't know.
Mm.
But one of the neat things about it is when you're doing it, you're fulfilling the commandment to pray without ceasing.
Mm. That's true.
Because you're talking to God.
Man, I had to apologize a lot today.
You know, there's books written in prayer. It's so simple. Prayer is just an honest conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right to holler at God once in a while if you feel like it. It's all right to tell him that you're mad at him today. You know? It's all right to tell God whatever is on your heart, because after all, he already knows you.
Yeah.
But he likes you to tell him. Okay. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Here we have a description of our enemy. Since we are saved and forever belong to the Lord, our enemy can only ruin our human life. I'm going to repeat that. because we're saved, because we belong to Jesus, the enemy can never ruin you eternally. He can only ruin your human life. So we're talking here about our testimony for Christ is what we're really talking about. He can make us useless to God. He destroys our reputation and our witness. This, of course, reflects on our good Savior. The entire band of fallen angels led by Satan with the demons attacks us in our mind. When we give in to wrong thoughts, then we'll soon have a behavior that resembles God's enemies. What a humiliating defeat for a child of God. And particularly humiliating when you think in terms of what we learned in the first chapter. How we learned that we have all the spiritual blessings that are ours. That we belong to God, that we were called by God, that we have his eternal protection, and we don't take advantage of it. Moving on. Then he says, wherefore, you know, whenever you see the word wherefore, you have to go back and see why wherefore is therefore. And it means in light of all that's been said. And that means that goes all the way to the first chapters I've already mentioned. You know, the first chapter is something we need to keep in mind a lot. We're going to review it if we have time. But we need to keep it in mind. We need to thank God for it on a daily basis. We have all. How many is oil? All. Is that all?
That's all of it.
Yeah. We have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly place. And God has banked, and we have those in Christ. God has bankrupted heaven to give us everything that we need. Wherefore, with all that in mind, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand to the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, he's repeating for emphasis. And by the way, when God repeats himself, he means it. As if he means it if he doesn't repeat himself, as a dumb thing said. he repents for emphasis that we're to put on the entire armor. He also repeats the exhortation to stand. Soldiers either stand up and fight the enemy, or they run in cowardice. Today, soldiers fight on their bellies sometimes. When one stands, it means to continue to resist no matter what. I'd like my Bible reader to read James 4:7.
James 4:7.
Please.
All right. And it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Now, God is going to tell you to stand again. Now we're going to see how the armor looks. The model comes from the armor of a Roman soldier of that day. Okay, this is the way the soldiers suited up. Our dear friend, Phil, Peter, made us up one of those. You probably saw one in Sunday school, one of those pictures of the Roman soldier with the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent it to me. I'm sorry that I'm not sure quite how to get it to the rest of you, but you can use your imagination and that'll work just as good. So he says here, this is verse 12, this is new stuff. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when the Roman soldier suited up, he first got a belt around his waist. That's how his loins were girt. Girdle comes from girt. He had a leather belt was like a girdle. Okay. Put that around his stomach. Now, the truth mentioned here can have two meanings. Both are accurate. This could be subjective truth, meaning that you are a man of integrity. When you speak, you do not lie. By the way, it could also point to Jesus, who is the truth, and we need his support. The belt, you see, was a place to hang the armor. We need truth and integrity to undergird the armor. So that you're starting with a base, with a foundation on which the rest of the armor is going to be attached. And that foundation is spiritual. And other it could be it can actually be both. It includes your integrity as well as your relationship with Christ. We need both truth and we need integrity. The soldier's belt gave ease and freedom of movement. So truth gives freedom with self, others, and God. By the way, Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, I shall set you free. I will give you the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Was he talking about being free from the King of England?
No.
No.
Free from the bondage of sin and wickedness.
Yeah, free from the slavery of sin, absolutely. Great answer. Okay. The breastplate of righteousness refers to sanctifying righteousness of Christ. I need a reading of 1 Corinthians 1:30.
1 Corinthians 1:30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
You know, we need that deserves a little thinking about. Read that again.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
You see, you're in Christ Jesus, and because you are in Christ Jesus, you have his wisdom, you have his righteousness, you have his sanctification, you have his redemption. Look, you are, guys, you're such wonderful people now that you are in Christ. I'm not trying to diminish the fact that there's a time that you were jerks. I understand that. But today, in Christ, you are special. I want you to begin to act special. I want you to begin to live special. I want you to begin to think of yourself highly, not lowly. I understand that you're not to give up your humility, and you won't give up your humility as long as you give Christ the credit for all of this. Without what he's done for you, you wouldn't have it. But now that you have it, take it. Take it. Look at this wisdom. Righteousness, sanctification, being set apart for God, and redemption. You've been bought back. You got it all. And the soldier's breastplate protected his chest from any attacks. So sanctifying, righteous living guards a believer's heart against the assaults of the devil. So sanctifying, or in other words, setting up the kind of living that sets you apart, and righteous living, they guard your heart against the assaults of the devil. I want her now to read Romans 6:13.
Romans 6:13. That's my radio voice.
Is that your radio voice?
That's my radio
voice. Do you have a television voice?
It sounds the same.
I'll get back to you.
I'm sorry. A
that's all right.
This is my radio face.
I apologize. Okay. All right.
Romans 6:13.
Neither 6:13. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
And that deserves a second reading.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
She's cutting out.
Yeah, maybe one more time, Miss Kitty.
Oh, it's cutting off on your side. It came through great here.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay.
Yeah, I thought I heard it.
Yeah, it's cutting off on y'all's end.
Do you want me to read it one more time?
No, we got you clear on the cast.
So. Okay.
Sorry, we created a problem. Listen, No, the Bible, Romans chapter 6 is a chapter sometimes referred to as no reckon yield. And this is how that goes. Know who you are in Christ. Reckon, or in other words, believe that it's true. And yield yourself to God. And you realize that giving up our own will and yielding it to God is one of those difficult things in life. By the way, I don't know if you guys know what the true nature of sin is, but let's look at Isaiah chapter 14.
Isaiah chapter 14.
And I'm going to have a read as soon as I make sure I got the right verse. Isaiah 14. Oh, this thing's sticky.
Flip faster.
Yeah. Start with... I'm in wrong chapter 14. That'd be 14. Yeah, start with 12.
14, 12?
I'll tell you when. Well, read through, read 15.
Okay.
By the way, before we start reading, this is a prophecy against Satan. So read away.
Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down.
This is known as the five I wills.
Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Read 14, read 13, 14, 15 again. I cut you off.
Okay. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Those are the five I wills. A word of caution, because of the danger. Whenever you hear yourself saying, I want, you want to remember that you may be in one of these verses. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I will, I will. And he ends it by saying, I will be like the Most High, because I want to be like God. I want to be God. I will, I will, I will. Anyhow, you just need to be aware of those five I wills. Watch out for the I wants in your life now. Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed an I will. He said, I call it praying the druthers. He said, I'd druther not drink the cup. In other words, he said, I don't want to drink the cup. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Now you guys can pray and talk and have all the I wants you that you can think of, as long as they're the disclaimer. Nevertheless, thy will, and talking to God, nevertheless, thy will be done. As long as that I will stands above the others, you don't want to be ashamed of your I wants. It's only when your I wants jump ahead of God's wants that you've fallen into idolatry. So go ahead and tell God. By the way, a woman came to God and said, Heck was his name. He started college. He said, this guy, I never pray for the little stuff. I don't want to bother God with it. I just pray for the big stuff. And he said, lady, what could you have that would be big for God? Why don't you just pray for everything? In your prayer life, you can ask God for anything. And in your prayer life, you can go to God and say, I want, I want. Don't forget. Nevertheless, I will be done. That's the part of that lesson that we want. And that's what the devil is getting at when he gets to this, I will, I will, I will. Okay, let me see where I left off. Okay, I left off with the yield, no reckoned yield. I'm ready for verse 15. We're back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This verse cannot refer to the preaching or spreading of the gospel, since the picture is one of a standing soldier. We see here the sure footedness that comes from the gospel, which gives the believer peace so he can stand in battle. The gospel not only works, is not something you give to other people in order to get them saved, but the gospel is something that builds your faith and gives you strength to stand in the day of battle. So when it says here that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what it's saying is that the gospel gives you strength. And you don't have any trouble. I'm sure everybody out there understands what I'm saying. Now, as they learned more about Jesus and they learned more about what he did for them, and as they meditated on his resurrection, their own peace and their own assurance grew to where, after you've been a Christian for a few years, that your salvation is never in doubt in your mind. You always know you're saved. Now, there's times when you come under the discipline of God because you've been naughty. And there's times when you get rewards because you did what you were supposed to do. But underlying that all is the sure, certain knowledge that you're headed for heaven.
Well, without that, I mean, we don't have nothing, do we?
No.
If we don't have the gospel, I mean, that's our foundation that we stand upon. And I think there's a reason. And I think there's a reason it's...
when you got that ball, you're okay.
Yeah.
Don't drop that ball. Okay, let's see what else this has to say. Okay, now the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, these are the last two things a soldier takes up. He does not put on his helmet until there is imminent danger. Having one's head covered gives a sense of safety. God's promise that our salvation is permanent gives us a sense of security we need to be effective fighters. It can also point to our future deliverance or hope of salvation. This is something that would bring more peace of mind. And the cross-reference is 1 Thessalonians 5:8.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation."
So see, the helmet is related to your assurance. It represents your safety. Once your head is covered, you're safe. The guy could come in, maybe stick his sword through your middle, but you're still okay. Because you still have your mind. Okay. And his sword is the only offensive weapon he has. Up to now, it has all been defense and security. The believer's sword is this word of God. It is with this word we need to combat the wicked one as he assaults us, as he tempted Jesus, who answered him with scripture. Okay, well, I picked one out. Luke 4, 3 and 4.
Luke 4, 3 and 4.
And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God."
Oh, wow. We don't live by bread alone. Our bodies live on bread, but our soul needs to be fed. And I'm presuming that you guys are feeding your soul. And you know, I talked about this the other day. Everybody goes around saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I tell you, I go around saying, hear your Bible, hear your Bible, hear your Bible.
So we need to be going around saying, here, read my Bible to me. Here, read my Bible to me.
Well, and actually, sometimes when you come home, and like you work in guys, you come home and you're tired, you just hand your Bible to your wife and say, honey, I'm just tired. Would you just read me a couple of chapters? And when you read yourself, you read out loud.
Hmm. That does really make a difference, you know.
It does, because the ear happens to be the way we tune into God. That's why the scripture says faith comes by hearing. But we've had this printing press for 400 years. By the way, they had as much trouble getting people accepted as they have getting accepted the phone today. And because it was a new invention. But we had this printing press so long that we think that reading is the way to faith. And we can learn a lot about the Christian life, and we can learn how to walk as Christians. But if we want to build our faith, we need to hear it. And it's as close as your voice. Oh, that's Acts 17. I'll find it in just a minute.
Acts 17. Find it in just a minute.
Made me think of something. Acts 17 is a great sermon preached by Paul in Athens. It's called the Mars Hill Sermon. And at the end of it, he says, if I can read it here. You know, you remember, guys, I'm older than dirt. I don't do this. I'm just fascinated. Okay, he's preaching in Athens.
That's right, folks. Jim and Dirt share the same birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not true.
No, I'm not.
Oh, I thought he said he was older.
He did say he was older, but, you know.
I am in Christ.
Yeah. He was boasting. And I didn't want to have him do a mess up.
If my dad was still alive, it would have been his 97th birthday, 96th birthday today.
Okay, read Acts 17:27. Well, for context, read 26 and 27.
Acts 17:26 and 27.
And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
Yeah, he's not far. He's as close as our mouth, says in Romans chapter 10. Close as our mouth. So, isn't that nice? You're already doing this. You're already talking to God. That's why prayer is such a big thing, is because you use your mouth. You're talking to the Lord. And it becomes a part of the helmet of salvation. And notice that along with this helmet of salvation, you get the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so we're talking about the interaction of the word and our minds. And by the way, when we preach the gospel to non-believers, we need to be ready with the word of God to deal with barbs from the wicked one. Sometimes you get some questions that you may have trouble.
You know, maybe we could do a show sometime on some of the key verses that we might look for in that sort of a situation.
Well, we could from time to time do a little topical. That's what they call topical teaching.
Right. Maybe we could do that on a Saturday, because I was just thinking, yeah. You know, because not all of us are as well versed as
we may get to do it right now, because we're going to finish up here in about 10 minutes. We'll have a little time left over. Anyhow, he's now introduced you to the armor. And so he says, and then he, this is sum up. says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And by the way, supplications are requests. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. How do we pray in the Spirit? We pray it with our sins confessed. We do our mess up, fess ups. Mm. That's how we pray in the Spirit. Mm. If you've got a wrong thought and you don't confess it, then you quench the Holy Spirit and you don't have his value. He's not helping you right then.
Well, man, I guess I better pause. Pause within my prayers to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he says it's also good to pray for everybody else, too. Mm. Good soldiers. Now, this is me talking. Good soldiers are always alert. And good soldiers of Christ are praying in the power and sphere of the Holy Spirit of God. Three times he says all prayer, all perseverance, all saints. Now, all, I have to remind you, all means all. Good soldiers always look out for their buddies. We are our brother's keepers. Satan is always attacking them, so keep them in prayer.
Man, that reminds me.
Then the Apostle Paul asked for it.
I was thinking, reading, you know, Cain, when after he had killed Abel, what did he say to God? He's like, "Who am I, my brother's keeper?" You know, and you saying that just kind of made me think of that, because it was like the opposite of what you want to do or be.
And we are.
What he, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. He was his. He wasn't his brother. That was his excuse. You know. Let's look at that. That's chapter 4 of Genesis.
Chapter 4 of Genesis.
Abel had just killed his brother. And
what did he say?
Well, I'm going to give you the verse.
Hi.
Okay. Well, you start with 4:9, and 4:9. We'll read 9, 10, 11.
Okay. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand?"
Well, that was not a very pretty picture.
No.
But we've been fighting with our brothers ever since. By the way, I'm of the opinion that people like war.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not so sure the guy in the infantryman in the mud with being attacked by a guy with a bayonet that loves war. But I think there's a huge number of people that love the war. I think they love the emotion of it all. I think it has a high that they get in no other way. I suspect that there's a tremendous high connected to killing someone.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. I've heard tell people saying, you know, the feeling they get, you know, having taken a life. But I think those in charge like to play the game.
See, well, they want the money.
Well, I think they enjoy destroying the lives, and it's just a huge game of risk for them that they get to play with human mm-hmm. lives and real resources. And you know, I think that's a high all its own.
Yes. Romans 3. I'll give you that one. Three.
But some also say that it extremely sucks.
Well, you know, Sherman said war is hell.
Hmm.
And he was right. I didn't say it wasn't right. Hell. I said people like it.
Well, and I think perhaps it's an acquired taste, you know, and I thankfully have never taken life. So
read Romans 3:15.
Romans 3:15.
Their feet are swift to shed blood.
Go ahead, read the next one.
Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
There you go. That's part of the indictment of the human race.
I think it's kind of an acquired taste too. Like, you know, I imagine initially it's horrific. And then as you're forced to kill more and more, in life you have to acclimate to things, otherwise you go insane, or a little bit of both. But I think for some, it takes on a different...
Yes, and by the way, in this country, where we've been under the influence of the gospel for 250 or 300 years, we have a degree of mercy about us that you won't find everywhere in the world.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm not saying we're guiltless, you know what I'm saying, but everybody's sinned, every country's done something wrong, but I think America has shown a lot of restraint at times when they could have really just jumped in there and been like, all right, we're laying the hammer down.
Well, but at least in the forefront, behind the scenes, a whole different thing. That's the big problem.
Yeah. Well, there's always bad people.
Yeah.
Pulling strings. We know that.
It is an emotion. It's an emotionless job.
Yeah.
Because you have to do things that you know are not right.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. I know the feeling. You have to take emotion out of it. And I can tell you, before I became a Christian, I had no emotion toward it. You have to be emotionless, because if you put emotion into it, you can't do the job that you were tasked to do. If we couldn't do that, then we wouldn't be where we are today. And it's such a sad thing that you think back to what you did in your past and you beg for forgiveness, because you know what you did caused the death of people. And it's difficult to face. Our son is going through that now. And the good thing is he's a Christian and he knows Christ, and he knows that all he has to do is ask for forgiveness. And it's a difficult position to be in the military.
Absolutely is.
They probably need, remember the old World War One sergeant said, I just kill him, send him up to God, let him sort them out.
Yeah. We just arranged the meeting.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, and you know, I don't speak from any experience. I know that you do, Larry, and I know that Eric does, and I'm sure there's a lot to do with distance. I know my brother Eric was on the ground, and I think he had a different experience. You know, when you stare into the face of your enemy, or at a distance, I mean, you're killing nonetheless, and you feel the weight of that action. But when it's there in front of you, I imagine it takes a different kind of toll. But as I say, I imagine, because I have not had this experience.
I saw probably the best examples. My grandfather, who's passed away, God bless his soul, was in the Korean War, and I played taps because I was, you know, practicing, you know, for the Citadel, for, you know, Reveille and taps. And I played taps. I was practicing out the mountains, and it's the only time I have ever seen him cry. And my father had to say, listen, you can practice that, just not up here when he's here, because it's a whole different thing when you're just putting people to sleep. Like, to the men and women that fought in these wars is a whole different story.
Yeah. Well, it's a terribly ugly thing. And it would be wonderful if people throughout the world could love one another the way God wants them to.
Amen.
But we're creatures of free will, and there are those among us who are not willing to bow the knee to God.
And so, well, you know what? We should just kill them. Just kidding. Just kidding. I we've been talking about this quite a bit lately, the love of God, and well, look, another opportunity to hammer my nail. What Christ had truly suffered on that cross. And
amen.
And you know, with that example, there's no reason for us to shed blood here or have disagreements or arguments or any of that, because there is one perfect person who suffered it all. Every sin that this world had ever produced from beginning to end, suffered it all with the absence of his Father, and still chose to love us. So, I mean, that's the driving force in my heart, that whenever I feel angst or angry, I try to remember that sacrifice and what he went through and how minute and microscopic any issue I may have in this life with another person, and try to choose to love them. And I'm not saying I do it well or do it all the time, but that's the goal. That's what I work towards, because, well, he's our example, right?
Well, we can love anybody but faith, but we may have trouble liking them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can love them. We can love with God's love. And the nicest thing we can do for them is tell them how to get to heaven.
Mm.
Well, the nicest thing we can do for them is to tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that he was raised again on the third day. That's what they need to hear, that message.
Mm.
You know, Jesus said, when he raised Lazarus, he said, you can do greater things than I do. Well, I guess he said that in chapter 15. He said, you can do greater things than I do. Well, what would be a greater thing? Well, I can preach the gospel to somebody and raise them from the dead. That's a greater thing than what Jesus did, in that he raised people in a different way. He called them out of the grave.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a mere mortal, and I can raise men from the grave by sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm. By helping save their souls.
Yeah. Hang on to that ball.
Son, you better hang on to that ball.
More importantly, as the days go by.
Yeah, don't drop that ball.
You know, there's something that's been on my mind the last couple of podcasts we've done, the one on Saturday and today's. And it's something I'd like to touch on, because I think in regards to this podcast and this family of podcasts, it's kind of important. And that is, well, thanks to Duncan, there is an era of expertise and some polish to our podcast, but for the most part, you are experiencing amateur hour. And it's not that we're amateur, but that this is a family. And when you're a part of this family, I mean, it can be messy or unprofessional or silly at times, or, you know, we don't always make our cues or turn off our podcasts at the right time or whatever. But the big point here is that you are all part of a family, and you are as every bit as much of this family as myself or Duncan or Jim. You're all very important to us, and that's kind of the beauty of the messiness of these podcasts, is we're not spit and polished, we're not shiny, but we're not dull either. And it's a family atmosphere, and you are every bit as important as any other person here. And we just love your input. We love your participation. And we just love this family. And it's all about unity and growing together in the word, and everything else we don't really care about. It's just about the love and the understanding.
See, that's one of the beautiful things about these shows. Is that, you know, we're not coming as the know-all be-alls, man, because the know-all be-all is a Heavenly Father. We're literally, like Jim said, we're spreading the gospel, we're carrying the ball. And this is, we're all on this journey together, you know what I'm saying? And even the most weathered, seasoned followers of Christ are still going to learn something new that they didn't see 3, 5, 20 years ago. And that's the one thing about the family coming together, is the unity and sharing with one another, because we're just encouraging each other not only to grow that stronger foundation with Christ, but also, you know, how to spread that gospel. because it's very important right now. You know what I'm saying? Is not to shy away any longer.
Mm-hmm. Just in the short period of time that I've listened to the podcast a couple times and come in and listen, I have to realize that just like the families of the Bible that shared the word within their family before it was written, that's what we're doing. We're creating another generation of families. And to continue this on, to share the word, as Jim said, hearing the word, that's the important part, is hearing the word. And that's how the Jews passed the word down to the Gentiles, how the Gentiles passed it down, how everybody passed it down generation to generation. And that's what we're doing. We're creating another generation of Christians to listen to the word, to hear the word, and hopefully take the word to heart. And I say new generation because, you know, I'm not young. You know, you got Matt and Hev and the youngsters that are opening their hearts, their minds, and their souls to take in this word and then turn around and sharing it with other people also. And that's the generation that's going to carry it on. And then the generation after that, we want to continue that so this the word continues to spread, just like in the old generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I have this thing about the campfire. That's why we have church by the fire on Saturdays. And it was inspired by, well, many, many years of conversation at campfire for me. But in particular, our time spent around the fire when we were in Flemingsburg, and how the conversation would inevitably go from joking around and laughing to a serious conversation about God and the Bible and our mission and our family. So you're right on there, Larry. One, I love having you with us, brother. And two, that's what it's all about. It's just about learning together, being a family, helping each other understand and keep bringing each other up and supporting one another. And that's what the Christian family is truly about, is the love of Jesus and showing that love.
We are our brother's keeper.
Amen. We are our brother's keeper.
And I think that, like I was thinking about the campfire, there's something just it's so inviting and just kind of casual, you know, and you want it to be like that. You want people to want to come be a part of that. But then it leads into the gospel. And then when people really open their hearts to the gospel and learn who Jesus is, if they're really opening their heart and mind and hearing, I feel like they will receive it, you know.
Well, and we open our hearts to each other at the same time, you know, and that really brings us close.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the gospel so much. It has power. It has power. You know, power. We talked about power the other night. I talked about the power it took to raise Jesus from the dead. You know, power beyond the 10 and 100 hydrogen bombs, a huge amount of power. And those words have power. And have you noticed how words live in your head?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see them. You can't close your eyes and read them, but they're there and you hear them. And most of you have two people in your head, and one of them's telling you the wrong thing to do. The other one's telling you the right thing to do.
Something else you can't do is make them shut up.
Make them what?
Shut up. Sometimes they just yammer on.
I think that's one of the wonderful things about heaven that isn't discussed. Is that we'll no longer be in that tension.
Hmm.
We won't have those two voices. We won't have that. We won't have the whole flesh trying to get its way.
Right.
It's the I wants.
We'll be in the constant presence of our Savior. Yeah. Well, not that we aren't.
Which we are now, but we still are in the world.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's finish.
But even scripture, I'd say probably multiple places, says the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and it doesn't say literally, but it literally is. It is the power from God or of God that leads to salvation and everlasting life. That right there is power. You know, you want to talk about living forever. Everybody's like, look, trying to, oh, how can we make our lives last longer and all these things? You already have eternal life, have the power that leads to eternal life. You know, you shouldn't even be worried about it.
Right. Why do you want to hang out here?
In a sense, we're already enjoying the life we have. Remember, we have all the wealth, all the riches, all the blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We're already in the heavenly places. It's just that sometimes we have trouble being aware of it. That's because we're still trapped in these old bodies. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. I'm 18 years old. I'm trapped in this body.
Well, even in your heart, you're older than I am.
Hey, I think Jim has a good, young, joyous heart. He said
18.
He's a role model Christian. He's filled with joy, and that's. I mean, if I live to be his age, I want to be like that. Right. You know,
well, you will be. No, and Jim, you know, not to toot your horn, you better keep your ego in check here.
Yeah, I know I have pride problems, but
we respect and look at you as a very good example of what living a godly life is because of your demeanor, your spirit, your happiness, and you know, we know what you've experienced in life, having lost your whole family.
Yes.
And you've maintained a level of joy that is really inspiring, and that's all I'm going to give you, but we appreciate and respect you.
Thank you. God loves me. You love me. I can still eat steak. Why wouldn't I be happy?
Right? And you never have to wash your socks.
I'd still have a few of my teeth, although I gave one up the other day. I said I'm out living my teeth, and the dentist says, well, that's not all bad.
Well, shall we finish up here?
Yeah, we might as well finish this chapter. How much time do we have?
We got a half an hour.
Oh, well, we'll have some time for some more fun talk. Anyhow, the next thing that the Apostle Paul does is he has a request. And he says, and for me, that, remember, he just said praying for all saints. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So even the Apostle Paul had trouble sharing the gospel. Those of you who have a shyness button and you have trouble sharing the gospel, this great man of God had the same problem. And so what's the solution? Well, the solution is to ask for prayer. Now, what I pass on to those of you who have a shyness about this is start passing out gospel tracts. The shyest person in the world can lay a gospel tract on the restaurant table when they go and eat out. The shyest person in the world can lay a gospel tract on the counter in the grocery store when they're doing their shopping.
Hmm.
By the way, tracts are effective. I want you to turn to chapter 8 of Acts.
Chapter 8 of Acts.
I hope that's it. You know, well, it's not going to be 8. It's going to be more like 5. It's the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip.
The Ethiopian eunuch and Philip.
And that's all I need to give my Bible reader. She'll go right to it.
Let's see.
Here it is. It's in chapter 8.
Oh, wasn't chapter.
Okay.
Starts with 26. It's a little story.
The wrong chapter. Yep.
We'll just take time to read this little story. I think it goes all the way to verse 25 to 40. That'll give you something to read about.
Okay.
Chapter 8, 25 to 40. Acts.
And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
Okay, what was he reading? The book of Isaiah? Mm-hmm. Now, we're told by people that have researched this that codexes were very popular in that time. A codex is a little book. And there were a couple hundred slaves in Jerusalem that wrote codexes. Now, I'm convinced this Ethiopian did not have a great big scroll that he was going like this. But he had picked up a codex in Jerusalem. And who did he get it from? I'm going to guess. He got it from a faithful tract worker. Somebody left it on the table at the restaurant. Listen, the world hasn't changed all that much. He had a tract. It led him to an individual who could show him that it preached Jesus Christ, and he got saved. And by the way, he was saved as Old Testament saints. He was saved by confessing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. You notice his confession was not, his confession didn't go, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And he was dead, buried, and raised. He didn't, that's not his confession. He confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the confession before the cross. And at the cross, that was a confession before the Apostle Paul was given the gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. He was saved. Remember, those Old Testament guys were saved in a different way. They were saved by faith, however, always by faith. Okay. Yeah. Now, the reason I lead you to that is because I'm exhorting you to be tract workers. Just one little piece of paper that says, God, you may even want to make your own. Just put the scripture on the back of a 3x5 card to leave it laying around.
About to give a shout out to Penny and her pocket crosses.
Yeah, no problem.
She's on that now.
You need to take those.
I got a bunch in my truck.
Mm-hmm. Take one of them. Take a little piece of paper that says Christ died for your sins according to scriptures. and it was born and raised again, and stick one of those in it and give it away. Anyhow.
Oh, I make it like an Easter egg hunt. I make it fun.
Anyhow, the Apostle Paul needed prayer in order to be bold. And we need prayer to be bold. So that's something you pray for in your prayer meetings. That's something you should be praying for, that your other brothers and sisters would be bold. Now, he says then in 21, now notice he says, he's an ambassador in bonds. At that time, he was in jail. And so he was in bonds. And he was an ambassador. And by the way, we're called an ambassador for Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians. And what's special about an ambassador?
We're representatives, ain't we? Like,
yeah, he doesn't live. His residence is where he lives. If you're an ambassador to Belgium, you're going to go live in Belgium. But you'll never be a Belgian citizen, will you? No, you'll always be a representative of the United States. And you don't live in heaven right now, but you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so you'll be living, and you'll be going home one of these days. I'm an ambassador in bonds. But he just prays that I could speak boldly, not to speak. Then he says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, the final conclusion to this letter has several things which must be noted. Peace, love, and faith are referred to in this salutation. Peace to the brothers is found nowhere else in the New Testament. Peace to the brothers, you're not going to find this anywhere else. These three things come from God, and as a matter of fact, can be found nowhere else in the world in a permanent state. This is special stuff you will not find down there at the street corner. He is also making known that what he is doing and how God's work is continuing. Keeping others informed is a valuable skill that we all might copy. As God does, and you guys are doing this in your prayer meeting, as God does miracles in our life, we need to share that. We need to make sure that the other brothers and sisters hear about that, because that encourages them. Let us wind up this book by thanking our Lord and Savior and God the Father for sharing these great truths with us. Thank you, God, for sharing these great truths with us. This is the book. I'm going to do just a quick little review. This is the book that has Philippians 3, not Philippians. Turn to Ephesians 3. We're going to have Kitty do some reading. Ephesians 3, starting with 14 and going to 21. I want you to just listen.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Now, you remember when we studied this, we understood that this prayer had already been answered. This is a prayer by the Apostle Paul in God's will, and it's been answered. You could say that, thank you, God, that you've granted me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your spirit in my inner man. Thank you that Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith, and that I, being rooted and grounded in love, I thank you that I may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Thank you, Lord, I'm filled up with all the fullness of God. And thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and the power that works in us. And thank you, Lord, for the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I don't know what time it is, but you know, sometimes there's a time to stop. The scriptures are so powerful. They need time to just sink into people.
Mm.
Before I leave Ephesians, I might take you back to the blessings. I highlighted five of them. And so if you'll turn with me to 1:4, chapter 1, verse 4. I'll call your attention to some key words here.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4.
First of all, according as he has chosen us in him, God chose us. You know, that's, if we didn't choose him, he chose us.
That's awe-inspiring.
It is. Boy, you could stop right there and that'd last you a whole week or a year or a month or a lifetime.
Right.
And then he set us apart, holy and without blame. When I look at myself, I'm not so sure I'm holy and without blame. But when God looks at me, he sees me as holy and without blame.
Which is ridiculous, because I don't see either of those in myself when I look at them.
Well, it's time for us to both see it. Holy means to be unique, be special, be different. We can do all of that.
Well, I'm special, all right.
And we can accept the fact that Jesus Christ died to take away all our blame. And he predestined us unto adoption. And we talked about the power in the adoptive relationship.
Yeah, yeah, that you're more than a child of a biological, but chosen.
Yeah, the bio child is one that God sent you. And we're a chosen child, adopted. In other words, not only did God choose us, but he also told the whole world through adoption that we belong to him.
Mm-hmm. Sealed us with the Holy Spirit.
You know, as you see these truths, you may understand why I picked this as the first book for you to study.
Mm.
I want you to know who you are, not who you were, but who you are.
He's telling you, stop living in the past.
That's right.
Start moving forward, living for Jesus, and being excited about living for Jesus.
Yeah. And by the way, we have redemption. His blood, he went and took his own precious blood, paid Satan off. We're no longer a slave to Satan. He paid him off. Redemption. He redeemed us. And then he didn't hold it against us. You know, this really gets me. Without forgiveness, every time he met me on the streets of heaven, he'd say, you son of God, I had to pay blood for you. But he won't do that when he sees me and say, oh, Jim, it's so nice to see you.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. He'll welcome you with joy and clothe you in fine linen and precious jewels or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're right on, Matt. Keep preaching that, honey.
he honors, he rewards you it's don't make sense, but you know, because we always think, you know, an eye for an eye, right? Yeah. We always think we deserve.
We want to get it.
We deserve the consequences for all the garbage we did in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But he already paid for it. It's already done.
And then remember, we talked about him sealing us in the Holy Spirit, we substituted a word called branded for sealing. He branded us somewhere on your body as a. It's a big circle with a G in the middle of it. It doesn't matter where you go, you're always his.
You know, that's one mark on my body I really wouldn't mind having.
Me either.
That's hard to tell, but this says Jesus.
I debated tattoos and I couldn't think of anything that I wanted, but darn on it, you could brand me in the name of God.
See, that's why he doesn't want us
on our heart.
That's why he doesn't want us wearing hats, man, because it's on our forehead. Thank you, Tampa Bay.
Fun to think about. And then, of course, we got the Holy Spirit as the down payment on our inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We got the down payment on our inheritance, and our inheritance we inherit with Jesus Christ. Mm. I have no idea what our inheritance amounts to. It must be the whole world belongs to us. You mentioned that I had a joy, and God, of course, gave me a buoyant spirit all my life. But that joy comes from the knowledge that the whole world is mine. I'm selfish. I like having the whole world.
Hey, Jay, in heaven, when you go fishing, you get a bite every time.
You know, I'm the world's worst fisherman. But years ago, I and another man had a horse outfit where we took hunters out, and his cousin was a fisherman. He had a box this big filled with everything it takes to catch fish, and except in this little stream where we were camped, he couldn't catch any fish. So my partner, who didn't like his cousin, said, "Now I'm going to make." He said to me, "Now I'm going to make him look like a fool." And he said, he handed me a fly swatter. And he said, I'm going to have you go fishing. Now, I look at a fly swatter fish. And he says, go knock down some grasshoppers. He says, these trout won't take nothing but native grasshoppers. And then only when they're going upstream. So you put a native grasshopper on the hook. And you ride the horse out in the middle of the river. And you throw it down there. And when you reel it in, you'll catch a trout. And you'll get one every time. And my cousin will be watching and he'll be furious. It worked. The only time in my life I ever caught a fish. It worked. I caught trout. And he never would tell his cousin how we were doing it.
Well, that's just mean.
Yeah, so his cousin was kind of proud, so. So-and-so.
Well, you know, and that's, well.
But anyhow, you could talk about me catching fish every time I throw a line in. That's true.
And now we're
fishing, but once in my lifetime.
Now we're fishers of men.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm a fisher of fish, I'm a fisher of men while I'm fishing for fish.
Well, you can take a man, a person. You can take.
Well, actually, my boat was one of my favorite places to bring people and have those kind of conversations. Because one, they're trapped.
They can't get off.
And two, it's just a beautiful. It's like sitting around the fire. You know, there's really nothing else to do except either catch a fish, wait to catch a fish, or have a conversation while you wait to catch a fish.
Unless they become Peters and like hit that water running.
But then I don't need to talk to them because they've already
They've already got a God. Yeah, exactly. They've already got Christ in their heart.
Hopefully they're there to teach me something, I guess.
But, well, fishers of men is really, really what we do.
Hmm.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit, it says in John, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus.
Hmm.
It's interesting that it doesn't say he glorifies God. It says he glorifies Jesus. Now, what the way I put that to work is that that means that there's some, as you know, there's something special about Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. So if you're a fisher of men, then the name Jesus becomes your bait.
Yes.
You read my mind.
Since the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, then when you use Jesus' name, you turn on the power of the Holy Spirit. So now you got a helper.
That's what I was getting ready to ask, was now that we're fishers of men, what kind of bait do we use?
I think his name.
That's why I generally wear t-shirts that have John 3:16 or some kind of a conversation started on. I'm like, I used to be embarrassed to wear this stuff when I was younger. And now, I'm a bad example today. I'm literally wearing a military red shirt, but normally, that's all you see me walking around in, cause it just begins a conversation. Fortunately, we just live in an extremely Christian area. So most people around here are wanting to have that conversation.
We're involved with a guy in Washington. I don't know how this is something the church is doing. But anyhow, I got a little sign out my lawn. It isn't where I want it, but the rocks where I couldn't. Anyhow, the sign just says John 3:16. And then there's a QR code on the bottom.
Nice.
And if you take a picture of the QR code, you get an 18-minute film on how to be saved.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought that was pretty clever. So I put the sign up my yard. I don't know if anybody's photographed by QR code or not.
Well, if they did, they probably got to run over.
Well, the trouble is, it's not out on the road where I want it.
Right. Well, tell me.
I can't, everywhere I go to stick it in, there's rocks.
Well,
I live in a very rocky place.
I know you do. You know, I thought of some other bait that might work too for catching men.
Okay, go ahead.
A sweet spirit.
A sweet what?
Spirit. A heart of Jesus.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
A shining example, kindness.
Yeah, you want. I was going to say is you
well,
want.
You can ask them to do something for you. That's what Jesus did at the well.
Mm-hmm. I think you would want them to want what you have, and that you know. But you got to be a good example, living a godly life for them to want that. Though
the fruits, you have to bear those fruits. I'll tell you another thing, another way to do it, because, you know, Jim was talking about tracks earlier, which are just absolutely a really great way, especially for the shy people. But one thing that I learned years ago advertising is there's no better place to put a track or something like that than on the inside of a bathroom stall, because you always read your captive audience. So I would literally go around to sports stadiums, buy a cheap ticket to like a big event, and just go around and stick advertisements inside the stalls. Do that with scripture. Like I said, people sit, they're captive, they read.
Hmm. You can write it in Sharpie over the...
That's over the vandalism.
Well, it's already vandalized.
Graffiti.
Well, personally, I use the Chick tracks. Chick has been around for about 50 years, and it's a little cartoon book. And he has all kinds of different stories on cartoons. But I got a theory that there's a lot of people that can't read anything but a cartoon book. And so that's what I pass out.
It's funny because I was talking to a guy on the radio the other day when we were traveling, coming home. And he sent me one of his cards saying, you know, thank you for talking to us on the radio. And inside that envelope was also a little book called Four Angels.
And that was a Chick track too.
Yeah.
Was it a Chick track?
Yep. It was just really cool.
I tempt people with real food. I get them to the dinner table because I find that believers and non-believers all like real food.
Mm. Very good
so
point.
So then once you get them to the dinner table, then you can spray them with the gospel, or I don't know about spraying them, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
You can give them some scripture.
Bag of the gospel.
Give them some dessert with the gospel.
Hit them over the head with the Bible.
Yeah. With the lead pipe of truth.
I heard this great testimony. This guy was a missionary in Mexico, and he was just doing a revival at a little Mexican church, and he preached on this business about Jesus, about the story where the man where the guy tells the man, his servant, to go into the street and drag him into the meal. And so he's just starting his sermon, and here's this big scuffle, and here comes a guy all tied up with ropes, and two guys are dragging him in, and they sit him in the back pew, and he has to sit there through the sermon, and they tie him up and bring him in three times. And anyhow, the end of the story is that he goes back there 50 years later, and that guy is the pastor of that little church.
Oh, nice.
listen, well, it doesn't matter. Everything works.
Well, it's about that time, man.
Well, we need a prayer.
Yeah, we do. Duncan, you want to pray us out?
You don't have to twist my arm, man. I'm always ready to pray. Everybody, like I said, we got a lot going on in this world, and one of the greatest things that we have is prayer. You know, it gets us through all these times, and the very least calms us down. I've had to ask God about this many times today. Sorry, God, please calm me down. So if everybody would please bow their heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day. Thank you for all the beautiful things that you bless us with, dear Lord. Just the fact that I got to wake up and was breathing when I did so is the start of a great day, dear Lord, and it all begins and it ends with you. So, Father, dear Lord, as we get confused, and don't let us get caught up in this chaos, dear Lord. Remove all the evil, all the temptation that comes our way that tries to target us more and more as we build a stronger foundation with you, and more importantly, trying to reach out and help other people find what we have, just through the fruits that we bear, through the wisdom that you bless us with, dear Lord, but we become bigger targets for the evil in this world. Father, please let the Christians in this world, there's many of them that still don't believe that we're in a spiritual war. They don't understand what demons are. Some don't believe that the devil's real, and we're realizing more and more that it's very real, dear Lord. And as we discuss tonight, Father, the importance of armoring up in that beautiful, blessed armor that you have gifted all of us, dear Lord. But the only way that we're going to keep that armor clean and mended and fixed at all times is to repent for what we have done wrong, dear Lord. And we are all sinners. Every day we battle with this. The beauty of knowing you, Father, and having you in our hearts is that each day gets a little bit easier. Things don't exit our mind any longer. They're no longer actions. And one day, dear Lord, it won't even be a thought in our head. Tomorrow will be better than we were today, dear Lord. And we are making efforts every single day. But Father, thank you for sacrificing your life on that cross so that we had this chance that we have today, this salvation. Dear Lord, just strengthen us up. Give us all the courage that we need, dear Lord, to walk out into our communities and just talk to random people, dear Lord. They may start off strangers, but one day we're going to be brothers and sisters in your heavenly name. So, dear Lord, let us be careful about not spreading mistruths, dear Lord, as this world seems to be filled with the false prophets that you told us about, dear Lord. Let us be very genuine. Let people see it through our hearts. When they look at us, dear Lord, let them see you, not us, dear Lord. Let them see the love and the joy that we have through the grace and the mercy that you have given us. Father, I also ask that you give us great calmness during this time, dear Lord. Sometimes it's hard to escape the stress or the anxiety of all that's going on in this world, dear Lord, because it's impossible to avoid it. But dear Lord, we also understand that we are in a big battle right now, not just the ones of this earth, the rumors of the wars, dear Lord, but we are in a real war of a spiritual kind, dear Lord, that many people can't see whatsoever. But dear Lord, I ask that you continue to lift that veil a little bit more every single day, dear Lord. Let us become more acclimated to the truth within the scripture, but let those, dear Lord, that are sleeping open their eyes. Let those that are blinded be able to see again, dear Lord, so that they may be warriors in this great mission that you have blessed us with. Father, we are all your children, whether they know you, whether they don't, dear Lord, whether they're cold, lukewarm, or hot, dear Lord, we are all your children. So I ask, dear Lord, that you let us remember to love them all, not to necessarily love the sins, dear Lord, but to love the person, to love the sinner, dear Lord, and have no judgment and understand that they can too come around to where we are today, dear Lord. You never gave up on us, and you won't give up on those others, dear Lord. So don't let us give up on them either. Let us continue to simply plant the seed, because one day that seed will grow. And if they don't come back asking us questions, they'll find someone in their immediate life that can answer those questions, dear Lord. Those questions of you, questions of how to find salvation, how to bring you into their heart, dear Lord, so they have a chance at that eternal life. You have lifted us all from the grave after we died, dear Lord. The moment that we asked you into our heart, we were reborn, and I thank you for that. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the patience. Thank you for everything that you have blessed us with every single day, dear Lord. Thank you for all the family you blessed with us, dear Lord, and I ask that you continue to help Steve Cusick get back on his feet. Just let him get good again. Let him walk. Let him get right back into this battle, dear Lord, as I know you can. I ask that you be with Dog Mom and Truth Patriot as they're going through a very difficult time now with lost friend that they've known for a long time. And Punky, dear Lord, who lost her father just recently. Please be with her. Please be with her family and help them calm. Help them remain calm, dear Lord, so that they can get back into this battle as well. But dear Lord, when you ask us who's willing to stand up, let us all say, pick me. Let us all be here for you, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Doug.
All brethren said amen.
Amen.
How's that song go? Amen.
Duncan can flat out pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I can remember the words to that song.
Amen.
I'm not giving up my name. Yeah, yeah. I actually might be able to do that.
Thank you. Might have to make Miss Kitty our designated
song singer
too. All right, everyone. Well, we love you and appreciate you all so much. I am so honored to be a part of this family. The best family ever, because
it's a privilege to have them at our class.
Jesus himself knitted this family.
Amen.
And that's what makes it great. And we are all brothers and sisters under him. And so we're just all so blessed. And so go and have a blessed evening or night, depending upon where you're located. And just remember, God loves you.
And our sponsor thanks you for showing up.
Our sponsor, the creator of the universe.
Creator God, Redeemer God, Provider God.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you all. Have a blessed night.
Everyone,
I love you guys.
Have a beautiful night. Come over to Kilt to Christian tomorrow. We're going to be getting into some really good topics this week. We got a great interview as well on Wednesday night. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Palestine, Israel, and how the governments are different than the will of the people. It's going to be, and it's a tough topic, but this is a very one important one to cover. When you guys talk, I listen. So we will be covering that tomorrow. So everyone have an absolutely beautiful evening. Thank you so much for joining the Book of Heaven, Ephesians 6. And I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
send me a couple of his Kilted Christian stickers.